So now we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline for the one and only Doug LeMaurice. For Doug LeMaurice, he is a great friend of the program. Doug, welcome, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm real well. All right. So did you read Jason Lockenfors' story that he just put out?
I did not.
Okay. So basically what he is saying in here is that the Browns relied on a large contingent to handle their latest coaching search. Well, we all knew that. A group compromised of ownership, family, football operations, and analytics, with that final department playing no small role in the decision of rookie play callers Freddie Kitchens and Kevin Stefanski, sources said. But the interesting part of this is you go down a little bit, and it basically says that Jimmy Haslam had more family members in the room than football people brought in by Dorsey. What do you think of that?
Probably not great. Right? I mean, I guess when it puts football people over family. I mean, I think a lot of I wrote at the time when this, once they fired him, you know, like it'd be nice if maybe Jimmy Haslam just took a vacation for 2 years and let the football people do all this stuff. And obviously, that didn't happen. The one thing that's part of this, and there's more to get into, I mean, process matters. I think if you have the right processes, even if you're still going to make some mistakes along the way, but over the long haul, you're going to make more good decisions than bad because your process is good. But the other thing is, you can have a terrible process and still make a good decision, right? I mean, sometimes you luck into the right guy. So I guess I would pick football people over family, but maybe Freddie Kitchens is still the right guy, even if it sounds like the process was a little strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's general manager John Dorsey was the public face of the search and the point man for the process. So that, at least to me, makes sense. That's the way that it should be. It's just a little bizarre to me. What other family members are there? Like, we knew that Jimmy was involved. We knew D was involved. We knew JW was involved. Who's left? Is he bringing in, like, second cousins? Are you, like, the way that this is sounding, Doug, and I'm half joking, it's almost like these candidates had to interview in front of the entire Legion of Doom from the Super Friends.
Yeah, I don't have a Haslam family chart, a family tree, I guess, in front of me. So I don't know. I mean, I know Mary Kay Cabot for us at Cleveland.com has done reporting on this too, and had written about, you know, that Dee Podesta and Barry and you know, all these other football people who were part of it with Dorsey, in addition to the other people. So, you know, I guess if they're in the room, maybe they're watching. I don't know. You don't want them talking too much, right? So, you know, the hard thing with this is you need to make ruthless decisions in this business, right? And so if Freddie's the right guy, then great. Freddie's the right guy. If Freddie's picked because they know him, he seems like a great guy, he's familiar, then that's not great. So you want ruthless football people doing what's best, and you don't want family decisions. But again, they have a shot to get this right, just because sometimes you get it right no matter how you get there.
Yeah, and I think they did with Freddie. What do you think of the Freddie Kitchens hiring, Doug?
So, I mean, like, we're all going to talk about it a million times before the start of the season and write a million things about it. Like, would I have picked him? No, I wouldn't have. The one thing is, it's like, I don't know, you're supposed to have an opinion and it matters. But two things. One is, people are wrong about hires all the time. You can go back and find all the people who liked the Hugh Jackson hire. You can find all the people who hated the Doug Peterson hire in Philadelphia. One guy's fired. One guy has a Super Bowl ring. So we're wrong on hires all the time. Most of the time, it's a gut feeling or it's you're evaluating the wrong thing. There's a lot of luck involved. So I don't know. If I don't love the Freddie Kitchens hire, who cares? What the heck do I know? And the second thing is, does anybody want to be against this? Like, would it be? I said the Browns are going 12-4 next year before they had a coach. This city right now, with the optimism around this franchise, this is what everyone's been waiting for. Is it like super fun to be a naysayer on the coach right now? It feels like people want to feel good about the Browns. So since nobody really knows what the heck they're talking about, I'm not going to stand here and like pound the table and say this is a mistake, because I don't know. But would he have been my choice? No, he wouldn't have been my choice. But again, maybe he'll work out.
See, man, I feel the same exact way. And it was funny. I was talking with Jason Gay of the Wall Street Journal about that exact thing. And he's like, it is so much. He's like, I'm not a Browns fan. I live in New York City. I am not a Browns fan. But this team is so much fun right now that I don't want to say anything bad about it because they're just fun and they're good. And this town is buzzing. And you can't go down a street here without seeing either a Brownie the Elf stake into the ground or a Browns flag. And so you're right. Who wants to be the guy that comes on here and goes, I don't know, Freddie Kitchens, he's not the best. Like, it's just, I don't know.
And the thing, you know, I've all these things that I want to write, and this is one of them too, is does he have to be great? Like, I don't know. Do you have to have Bill Belichick to win a Super Bowl? Because I said Doug Peterson, right? Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl ring right away. Is he great, or did they just catch lightning in a bottle and they had some good assistance? And I don't know. You look at Jason Garrett's in the playoffs right now. Jason Garrett doesn't know what the heck he's doing.
No, not at all.
He's been doing it for a decade. So maybe if you have a quarterback and you have a defense, maybe Freddie Kitchens doesn't have to be Vince Lombardi for this team to still get to the playoffs a bunch of years. So that's part of it too. I mean, we're all thanks mostly to Brady and Belichick. And maybe to some degree, like Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger, we're used to like quarterback coach. If you have those, you have a shot. And I mean, it's obvious, of course. But on the other hand, maybe if you have a good quarterback, maybe an average coach is okay if you have Myles Garrett and Demaryius Randall and Nick Chubb and a good offensive line. So I don't know.
Well, hell, man, I watched it in Green Bay for years with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy was an average coach who was a bad clock manager and did a lot of dumb things, and yet he won a boatload of games. Why? They had a decent team around him and Aaron Rodgers.
And you'd love, I mean, of course, you'd love the next Bill Belichick. I mean, and a lot of people in Green Bay will tell you they blew it by only getting one with Aaron Rodgers. They underachieved. But you know what? I mean, you can't – it's hard to get a Brady and a Belichick at the same time, right? So we can't have that be the standard for the 31 other teams. So if it feels like they got the right quarterback for sure, then let's just hope the coach isn't a complete whiff and think, you know, that'll at least be enough to get the Browns in the playoffs, and then you see what happens.
Right, and I don't think there's any way that he can be, Doug, because I watched him with the offense, and he did the smartest thing that any coach can do, which is he walked up to all of his players and said, hey, what do you like to run? What do you not like to run? Let's fit the scheme to you guys instead of me trying to shoehorn you into a scheme. And that alone makes me think this guy gets it. And he understands that he's just there to take the talent that's around him and accentuate it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot more to being a head coach than being a coordinator, but the whole league is going this way, right? All anybody wants is the next offensive genius. So, part of the apprehension for me is, well, what do we know about Freddie Kitchens in terms of being in charge of anything, you know, other than an offense for eight games? But you look at the Green Bay hire. Sean McVay had been a coordinator for a couple of years, but I mean, everybody's hiring. You look at Cliff Kingsbury; people are hiring young offensive guys, and so this is the way the league is going. And so on one hand, Freddie Kitchens, I think, is kind of a very out-of-the-box kind of hire. He doesn't seem like a guy that necessarily would have been on your radar. But then on the other hand, he's exactly the kind of guy, because what everybody is looking for is the next great play caller, and I'm not sure how much any team is looking at overall leadership of a team. If you can call plays and make an offense work and get along with your quarterback, that seems to be the top priority for most people making a hire.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're 100% right there. By the way, did you see it was floating around Twitter, the Cliff Kingsbury bio from the Arizona Cardinals, where they said it says friend of Sean McVay.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I do not know. We'll have to ask Freddie Kitchens if he knows Sean McVay. We'll make that the first question on Monday.
If you could throw that in there in some way, shape, or form, I would appreciate it. Doug Maurice of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer joining us. All right. I think it's great. What do you think? So there's a lot of rumors of Steve Wilks being thrown about. You have any opinion on Steve Wilks?
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I know anything about these guys. I didn't watch a single minute of Arizona Cardinals football this year.
Good, I didn't either.
You know, the idea, I do think there's something to be said for it. It's very easy in any sport, in the NFL, any sport, to go from the hot young guy to kick to the curb. And Steve Wilks was that. right? I mean, you know, when a year ago he was one of these up-and-comer coordinator assistant coach guys. He goes to a lousy franchise. They have a lousy year, and he's done in a year. And so now all of a sudden he's available. You know, so the idea that he's been through it, that he's been a head coach, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense that if you're going to hire Freddie Kitchens, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have somebody on the staff who's been a head coach before. But at one time, Steve Wilkes was an up-and-comer, and he's not very far removed from that. So, I mean, from that standpoint, you don't necessarily need a totally recycled guy who's been in the league for 30 years on the staff with Freddie, but someone who's been a boss but still has a lot of upside. I think from that standpoint, Steve Wilkes seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he's in the similar mindset of a 4-3, likes to play a lot of zone. He's heavy in, you know, one-on-one coverage with corners. Like, all of the things that you want to hear about a defensive coordinator, he seems to fit. His team's got a boatload of interceptions. They sack the quarterback. So it all makes sense in that regard, and I'm with you there. I'm not going to pretend that I watched a boatload of Arizona Cardinals games. I think Red Zone would flip over like once every, you know, full moon. But outside of that, I haven't seen a whole lot of them. So we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Todd Bowles would have been an interesting option. Chuck Pagano would have been an interesting option. I mean, I think, they're in that zone with looking at guys who have been a head guy who you're now looking at as a defensive coordinator, and I think there was a lot right to that general idea.
Yeah. Doug Lamers of Cleveland.com and a Plain Dealer. All right, so let's look into what we're watching today. So for the Chiefs and the Colts, what are you expecting in this game? What do you want to see out of these teams?
I mean, it's always interesting about when you get hot in the NFL, right? Which is why I think a lot of people were really hoping the Browns would somehow find a way to sneak into the playoffs there at the end. And I mean, you get hot and anything can happen. And you know, the Colts were lousy at the beginning of the year and then look as good as anybody at the end of the year. So I think it's going to be a reinforcement for everybody in Cleveland of watching a game like that. You look at Patrick Mahomes and you look at Andrew Luck, and it's a game like this where that quarterback can win you the game almost by himself. You give him a little bit of protection, you give him a couple playmakers, but the quarterback's going to win the game. And so that's not a great analysis, but it's a reminder for every Browns fan of when now you have a guy too. Watch these guys. Watch one of these guys win a game for their team in the playoffs and imagine that, yeah, a year from now, that could be Baker Mayfield, that you're going to go into a game and say, we have a chance. I don't know who's the best quarterback in this game. Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP. He was awesome this year. But Andrew Luck might be the best quarterback in that game. And a year from now, the Browns, if they're in the playoffs, could go into a lot of games and say, hey, we might have the best quarterback in this game, and maybe he can win it for us.
Well, and it's almost similar to the Colts because, I mean, they of course, had Andrew Luck, but Andrew Luck gets hurt, and Chris Ballard comes in, and he just starts building up this offensive line. And, I mean, you've got all these guys now that are just stopping everybody who comes near him. Every single pass rusher is running into problems because this line is so good that it's giving Luck time in the same way what Kitchens did with Baker Mayfield and that quarterback of giving the kid time and giving the short drops and get the ball out quickly. And that's what both of these teams do really well. And so I'm in the same boat. I think this could look forward to what you see with the Browns, hopefully next year. Cross your fingers next year.
And it's funny to think about. People love to talk about Quentin Nelson and the kind of year he had at guard as a rookie for the Colts. But, you know, you look at the stats, the Browns' interior offensive line is as good as anybody. And that was like the first thing they built up. The guy who shall not be named, when he got here, one of the first things he did was sign Kevin Zeitler and J.C. Tretter and re-up Joel Bitonio and lock down the interior of your offensive line. And you see how important that is. Of course, they did make sure left tackle settled. But you prevent those interior rushers. It helps you get your run game going. And so, again, you're talking about that with the Colts, and that's the whole thing with the Colts. Luck got healthy this year, and they built up the line for him. Guess what? That's another area, as you said, that sounds a lot like the Cleveland Browns.
I like it how he yells, who shall that be named, except instead of wielding a wand, he wields a calculator.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I don't want to turn everything, but, I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah, it really is.
They spent more on the interior of the offensive line than any team in the league. And now you look around and people are talking about how important it is to have a good interior of the offensive line. And it's like, yeah, the Browns have it.
Yeah, and they do. They absolutely do. All right, we'll quick hit the late game as well. You've got Dallas versus the LA Rams. I think the LA Rams roll this one. I think this is the one where maybe it's closed for a little bit just to make everybody who ever had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay shiver a little bit. But I think this will definitely be a like the Rams will take off and they'll blow out the Cowboys.
I mean, it does feel like, I mean, everybody was in on the Rams, then they hit a bump here, and people are kind of getting out on the Rams a little bit. It feels like there's some Sean McVay backlash to some degree that, you know, everybody thought he was a genius, and everybody wants the next Sean McVay, and now people are saying, are you sure? Did we jump the gun on him? But listen, that was my pick. The Rams were my pick to win the Super Bowl before the year. And again, I was going to say not to make everything about the Browns, but of course everything is about the Browns.
Everything's about the Browns. The national media does the same thing.
So this is about the Browns, too. I picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl because that's the format. You get a young quarterback who has a lousy coach his first year. Jared Goff had Jeff Fisher. You fire him, you get a better head coach, and 2 years later, you win the Super Bowl. And that's where they are. And so if this works for the Rams, then this means that in 2020, the Browns can win the Super Bowl with Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield. And it's just an example, of once you get the quarterback, it can flip quick. And Jared Goff looked much worse as a rookie than Baker Mayfield looked this year. Baker Mayfield looked 10 times better. So, you know, it's just another team to watch. You can watch the Colts and say it. You can watch the Rams and say it and say, you know what? There are parts of this team that I'm watching in the playoffs, and parts of that team are very similar to the team I care about. And you start piecing it all together, and you can see why it has a shot to work in Cleveland.
Absolutely. Who's your Super Bowl real quick? It's Rams versus...
I've liked the Chargers all year, and I just
same
think
here. It would
be like a super weird thing to have like the Super Bowl be L.A. versus L.A., you know? Like, nobody in that city cares about either of them, and they're playing each other in the Super Bowl, so that would be a weird pick, but I think at the moment I might go Rams-Chargers.
He's Doug Lamorese of Cleveland.com and a Plain Dealer. Thank you so much for joining me, man. It's a blast as always.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you, man. Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. God, see, talking to him now, I want to run through a window. I'm ready to go. This Browns team is fun. And so what? We don't know anything. They're still up and coming. There's still a boatload of talent. We haven't even gotten to free agency in the offseason yet. So we will preview the rest of the NFL playoffs, and we will get you ready for today and the divisional round.